Good morning. Today is the day the Lord has made, and we shall
rejoice.
Be glad in it. Would everyone just be so kind to stand up as we read some scriptures here? You can follow on the screen behind me. Psalm 141, verse 3. Take control of what I say, O Lord, and guard my lips. Proverbs 29, 11. A fool uttereth all his mind, but a wise man keepeth it in till afterwards. Proverbs 17, 27 through 28. The truly wise person uses few words. A person with understanding is even-tempered. Even fools are thought wise when they keep silent with their mouths shut. They seem intelligent. Let's pray. Lord, deliver me from the urge to open my mouth when I should shut it. Give me the wisdom to keep silent where silence is wise. Remind me that not everything needs to be said and that there are very few things that need to be said by me. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You guys can have a seat. As you know, some things that took place in the last few weeks, and we're in a message series titled, what's it called? I Need to Be a Friend, or I Need a Friend. This is what today's message was supposed to be about, Jonathan and David. There was 3 points that I wanted to talk about. If you're like, wow, if he could do this every Sunday, that would be awesome, because we could get to the restaurant faster. Jonathan and David, 3 points. Be quick to forgive, Colossians 3:13. Support each other, Galatians 6:2. Love like Jesus, John 13:34 through 35. What do those 3 points answer? They answer the question, how do I build a lasting friendship? How do you build a lasting friendship? Be quick to forgive, support each other, love like Jesus. Can't go wrong there. What I want to talk about today is a lot of other different things. Do you guys know that we have another Bible before us? It's called a smartphone. It's not the Bible as far as the Holy Bible, but it just becomes something. And it's an echo chamber. Let's call it out for what it is. I'm white. The shot is black. I'm white, you agree with that, and you're black, you agree with that. Those are true statements. If we were to pull out our second worldly Bible here, our algorithms are going to look a lot different, a lot different. Echo chambers. I don't have anything on my phone about Kanye West. He does have things about his phone on Kanye West. I have things because I'm a white pastor. Therefore, I actually have a lot of white pastors that show up on my feed. My music preferences are different than Rashad's, respectfully. However, there are some things that we coexist with. We have some love and likes about certain things. But my YouTube is definitely different. I'm not on social media. Some of you guys know that. I have an Instagram account that I haven't posted since before COVID or right at COVID. I open up my algorithms, and I've got some woman from the 80s belting a song right here. I don't even know, you know, but some reason YouTube wants me to click it. And I'm not going to lie, I kind of want to, right? Because why? Because my wife will tell you, I love 80s music, right? I always have. I'm like, yeah, I like 80s. There's something about it, you know? I don't know. Anyways, I filtered through, I see all sorts of different things. And unless I give it a thumbs down, it just continues to keep going. So all of that to say, algorithms and filters do a lot of different things, a lot of different things. And if you give it enough time, a filter, over time, if you keep filtering things. One thing I've learned of camping and hiking of like water, I have a filter. Inside that filter is like charcoal. And inside that charcoal, it will collect the germs from the water. Now, it's not 100%. That's why it always gives you a little caveat, 99%, you know, effective. So there's still that 0.1% percent that could come in here and just give you a fun time in the bathroom. Right? Fun time. So some of us, we don't know what filters are. Some of us just kind of, we're in that moment and you just kind of blurt out stuff. And so I'm thankful that I wasn't preaching last Sunday because I don't know what I would have said from last Sunday. But today I want to say that I'm 99% sure that I'm good for what I want to say today. But let me call out just a few things of what I'm pointing to. On Friday, August 22nd, Irina Zarutska was stabbed and murdered on a light rail train in Charlotte. 2 weeks later, on Wednesday, September 10th, a 16-year-old fired 20 rounds in a school located in Colorado in a high school. He was 16. He injured two of his classmates. One is still in critical condition, and then he turned the gun on himself. That same day, we witnessed a horrific event as far as the video footage, which was horrific. Charlie Kirk, founder of Turning Point USA, was shot and killed at Utah Valley University in Orem, Utah. I did not subscribe to Charlie Kirk. I did not know. I wasn't a understander of his platform. I never even actually knew anything about Turning Point USA. For some of you in this room, you guys know me well enough that I'm really not too political. And it doesn't mean that I don't vote. I vote, and I know my political stance, but I'm not that type of individual to want to just sit here and just talk about certain topics. Now, you could sit here and you say, well, that's just wrong. That's just your opinion. So, to get started today, I just want to set the stage correctly here, all right? So, some conversations are meant for a table and not a platform. Some are not meant for a platform. Today, I might get told that I didn't say enough, and some of you might say that I said too much. So it's interesting. So I thought, where do I go? Do I go to the worldly Bible or do I go to the holy Bible? So I thought, well, let's go to the holy Bible. I thought in my head, I thought, you know, it says that Jesus experienced a lot of the same things that we experienced. So I thought, well, let's just go to him, okay? I can't bank on Moses. He's imperfect, and who knows, and Elijah and all the rest of them. And I thought, well, let's just go to Jesus. I think you can't go wrong with Jesus. So I found the story in Matthew chapter 14, where Jesus had heard about his cousin John the Baptist. It says in verse 13 of Matthew 14, it says, as soon as Jesus heard the news, he left in a boat to a remote area to be alone. But the crowds heard where he was headed and followed on foot from many towns. Jesus saw the huge crowd as he stepped from the boat, and he had compassion on them and healed their sick. And I thought, here's a man that was experiencing sorrow, and he was getting pulled from every side, you know. And at any moment, he could have been like, just keep me on the boat. I don't want to get over there. It's just too much, you know. Let me just go. What little time he maybe had alone on the boat, still surrounded by his disciples, I'm sure that he found time to seek his heavenly Father. In that moment, and he arrives on the shore, what does he begin to do? He begins to lay hands on the sick. As time had progressed that day, the disciples were like, hey, it's getting really late. You might want to send these guys on their way. Like, they need to find food. And Jesus is like, well, you feed them. Immediately, this is that moment where you can't get around the brain of Jesus and how he thinks. But these guys, I'm sure the disciples are like, what's he talking about? Like, you know, how do we do this? There's like 5,000 people here. What are we going to do? And so then obviously Jesus is like, just find somebody with some food. Right. But he never sends them away. He He always brings them to Jesus. I think that's the point of all of this, that in our moments of sorrow and everything else, the lesson that we learn from all of these things is that you don't go everywhere else to find your solution, your answer, your healing. You go to Jesus. You go to Him. You just go to Him. That's it. You don't have to go to see what everyone else is saying, what everybody else is teaching or talking about, whatever platform they're standing on. They don't have the answer. Jesus has the answer. So in the theme of this message series, I Need a Friend, I would actually like to transition this to the topic today is a friend of the world. Are you a friend of the world? James has a lot to say about this. James chapter 4, verses 4 through 12, it says, "You adulterers, don't you realize that friendship with the world makes you an enemy of God? I say it again, if you want to be a friend of the world, you make yourself an enemy of God. Do you think the scriptures have no meaning? They say that God is passionate, that the spirit he has placed within us should be faithful to him. And he gives grace generously, as the scriptures say, God opposes the proud, but gives grace to the humble. So humble yourselves before God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Come close to God, and God will come close to you. Wash your hands, you sinners, purify your hearts, for your loyalty is divided between God and the world. Let there be tears for what you have done. Let there be sorrow and deep grief. Let there be sadness instead of laughter and gloom instead of joy. Humble yourselves before the Lord, and he will lift you up in honor. Don't speak evil against each other, dear brothers and sisters. If you criticize and judge each other, then you are criticizing and judging God's law. But your job is to obey the law, not to judge whether it applies to you. God alone, who gave the law, is the judge. He alone has the power to save or to destroy. So what right do you have to judge your neighbor?" There really needs to be an understanding between signal and noise in our current state. Some of us grew up with the dial on the radio. And you didn't have that privilege of just, you know, pushing the button and it just finding it. And you remember those moments where you sit there and you turn, you're like, "Oh, good, good, good," and you'd be like, "Go back a little bit," and you finally get it, you know, and you finally get it in, and you're like, "There it is." Like, "Don't move," right? Nowadays, you just press the seek button. You're like, "I don't like that song," and you just go next seek button, next seek button. If you even listen to the radio. That distinction between signal and noise is really important. There's older generations. I met actually this morning over here with the prayer team to talk to them a little bit about my message today. And it was interesting as I looked around the circle. I think there was one individual that was actually even in my age bracket, and the rest of them were of older generation, which I love. I love, oh, love, love, love. But I'm sitting there thinking, and we talked about the current state of what's taken place, and they were like, "I didn't even know who these individuals were. I didn't even never heard of Charlie Kirk or you know." So sometimes we can get into our own little bubble to go, "I don't know. Why does it matter? Why does this take place?" Or that is horrific. I mean, I think we all can agree those types of things that take place in this world are oof, and that's why I'm talking this morning about being a friend of the world. Being a friend of the world, you can get caught up with all of these noise. So some of you in this room, you may go, "Man, why is he even wanting to talk about this? Let's just talk about this and that or whatever else." And I am, actually. I think this is the problem. The church does need to have a voice. The church does need to talk about how we feel. Some of you may not be as connected as others. Well, why? Because, again, what's your echo chamber like? What's your generation look like? There's a lot of generations in this room that are being led by a voice. There are races in this room are being led by a voice, right? I mean, so you'll sit there and you're like, "What are they going to say next?" Some of you may even came in this morning. Maybe you came last week hoping that the senior pastor was going to be there so you can hear what he has to say about it. So I know that to be true. But all of that is hard. It's hard to tap into that signal What's the voice? If some of you in this room, you're still kind of like, I can't believe he wants to talk about this right now. I want to show you guys an image of why I want to talk about it right now. James, go ahead and show him that image. So that's my son in the middle. Obviously, it's not the one in the front. The kid in the back right there in the middle, that's my son. So some of you go, you can take the image down because that's not what it's about today. You can sit here and be like, oh, who is he to want to talk about this stuff? That's my generation that I'm stewarding. And so there's a lot of voices that get heard. When you decide to listen in to someone, which is, there again, there's wisdom to listen. There's a lot of individuals in this room that I love listening to, and I want to sit and listen. A wise individual wants to be corrected. I want to be corrected. I want to be guided from wisdom and experience, and obviously, if this is first in that person's life, then I will listen to them. I'll do it. But many of us, we don't understand the signal. It can be skewed sometimes. You ever have that moment on the radio, you're listening, and all of a sudden, like you go through a stoplight, or you go through something that somehow another signal got transmitted in, and it's like two different songs are playing at the same time, and you're like, how'd that happen? And then you just move on, and boom. You're back to signal. That's called being a friend of the world. Like you can be tuned in to all the things of God, and you're like, this is good. And then all of a sudden, a signal kind of comes in and hijacks, and you're like, oh, yeah, this is good too. It sounds good. It sounds really good. And then just hijacked over to something else, and then you're back on. And who knows how long you were hijacked? Who knows? It sounded good. And then you have to sit here and go, man, I don't know what I was listening to, or I don't know what I was doing. And all of that to say is that your signal needs to be tuned in to a heavenly signal. What is God saying about things? What is God saying about your own life? That's the most important. Have you become a friend of this world? Let's go to the beginning. Let's go to John chapter 1. John chapter 1, 1 through 14 says, in the beginning, the Word already existed. The Word was with God, and the Word was God. He existed in the beginning with God. God created everything through Him, and nothing was created except through Him. I'm going to keep reading, but man, I got to tell you, John, man, John knew. I don't know what it was about John. Like, he was young. We know that. He was young and youthful, but boy, he had an intelligence. Man, he had an intelligence, an understanding, leaning in on God, you know, and all these moments. I love it. Even the disciples would be like, hey, John, ask Jesus this. Something about John. John just knew it. I don't know. He just saw it. Verse 4, the Word gave life to everything that was created, and His life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. God sent a man, John the Baptist, to tell about the light so that everyone might believe because of his testimony. John himself was not the light. He was simply a witness to tell about the light. The one who is the true light, who gives light to everyone, was coming into the world. He came into the very world he created, but the world didn't recognize him. He came to his own people, and even they rejected him. But to all who believed him and accepted him, he gave the right to become children of God. They are reborn, not with a physical birth resulting from a human passion or plan, but a birth that comes from God. So the Word became human and made his home among us. He was full of unfailing love and faithfulness, and we have seen his glory, the glory of the Father's one and only Son. Man, what a great group of scriptures just to hone back in the goodness of Jesus Christ in our lives, of He being the light in the darkness, that man, He is number one. He is our focal. He is our signal. He's the one that we need to be listening to. He is the voice. we dial into him. I think too often we'll get caught up. We get caught. Somehow we get caught off and we just begin going down these rabbit trails and listening. And you go, that sounds good. That sounds right. That sounds good. That, this. And it's like, man, you're missing out. I think all the anger or hurt or sad emotions, if it was unresolved, you probably didn't go to Jesus. If it is resolved, hopefully it wasn't resolved by human thinking, but by heavenly wisdom. I pray that even in all of those weeks and the different things that took place and the things that will still to come, I don't know if you've read the end of the Bible. There's a lot more coming. Algorithms are interesting. I didn't know if you guys know this, but Jesus is coming back on Tuesday, saith this Bible. Saith this Bible, Jesus is coming back. Maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe Tuesday, maybe Wednesday, but Jesus is coming back. I mean, guys, I can't believe it, but the minute that Jesus went into the sky and left the disciples, and they go to the upper room being filled and indwelled with the Holy Spirit, right? Baptized in the Holy Spirit. They come out and they're like, Jesus is coming back. And I'm like, man, talk about excitement. Jesus is coming back. Jesus is coming back. And you read the Bible and you really understand that. You go, woo, I'm ready. And then you read Matthew 24 and you go, woo. Do you have a burning desire to see people ready? Do you have a burning desire to see people ready for this? That should be a focal point, right? That should be a focal point. I think that's pretty moving. I was on a run yesterday. I actually ran from the church yesterday back home. And as I was running, I passed by all kinds of people. And I was extra friendly. I had my headphones on, and I would do that. So one guy, he was sitting out in his driveway with a pipe, and I was like, he just kind of goes, I mean, what's this weirdo, right? I felt those tug in those moments, you know, you're like, oh, just yell out, Jesus, watch out! Right? It was like that. Like, that's what the world needs to know right now. Like, Jesus loves you. Jesus loves you. Like, that's just what everybody needs to hear. Jesus loves you so much. First Corinthians 1:18, the message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. That's right. Man. Let me read it again. I love it. It's one of my favorite verses as well. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction. But we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. If our churches were perverted with all sorts of voices and not pointing to Jesus, I think we've got some problems. And so it settles me to realize is that today is someone's first day in church. Today is somebody's first day in church in a long time. Do you know that everybody should know who Jesus is? Everyone you come in contact with, what a privilege it is for you to speak the name above all names, to bring them refuge, to bring them healing. In those moments, this scripture just screams out to me. The message of the cross is foolish to those who are headed for destruction, but we who are being saved know it is the very power of God. Pretty astounding. In 2 Chronicles chapter 7, verse 14, it says, "Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their lands." I want to read that one more time. "Then if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, I will hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and restore their land." Do you guys know that Trailhead Church has been given, has been commissioned to steward a move of God. We are to steward a move of God. That's the great commission that's been placed upon our house. Not to steward an agenda, not to steward a fleeting moment or movement, but to steward a move of God. Revival should always point to Jesus, not man. Always. I've heard a lot this week. I heard that there was a movement. Actually, like a list out there that says if your pastor didn't talk about Charlie Kirk, then find a new church. How about this? If your pastor didn't talk about Jesus, find a new church. Give me a break. That's the heart of it. I think we've been too caught up defining a stone. We've been trying to find these stones to throw, and we've been forgetting. Do you know what stones are really good for in the Bible? Well, I know for some of you, you want to say, well, killing Goliath. Well, sure. But building an altar. It's really good to build an altar. Altar of consecration. Altar of forgiveness. An altar to lay yourself down on it and say, not me. Not me, Lord. Don't let me be a friend of the world. I lay myself down on this altar and say, Lord, forgive me. I don't want to be this way. I want to do what you're doing. I want to steward a move of God. That's the most important thing you can do as a Christian. Some of us have been trying to find our rock to throw this morning, or what side to stand on. You know, one of the oddest stories in the Bible, I still haven't figured it out yet, probably shouldn't even talk about it, but I feel like I should, but it's one of the oddest stories, Joshua chapter 1 there. The angel of the Lord comes to Joshua and is going to give him some instructions, and so Joshua yells out, are you a friend or a foe? And the angel goes, neither. That should be a settling statement. You mean neither? I thought I followed Moses through the desert. And Moses talked to God, and God told him that we were his people. We were his children. What do you mean you're not a friend or a foe? I thought we were buddies, you know? That would be my thought from Joshua's point of view. Who am I talking to? I thought you were with me. Angel goes, neither. Then Jesus comes, and what does Jesus do? He saves those who are lost. It says in John chapter 3, verse 16, that God so loved the world that he gave his only son, his only begotten son, so that whosoever.
That's right.
That tells me that's a callback to the neither moment. If that angel would have stated his enemy, that would have changed the narrative. But what happened was that Jesus was coming. And when Jesus came, he said, all, whosoever calleth upon the name of Jesus. The most important thing we can do is to bring in and usher in a steward of God where people call out the name of Jesus. That they lay down their stones and they build an altar. And they crucify themselves on that altar. And they seek his face. I've asked that the worship team come back up. You obviously can do it from where you're seated right now, but the altars are open. I'd love for you to flood the altars. We as members of this church, that maybe we turn this off for a long time. Maybe we delete the app and sounds like a good idea. Let's take the app that we hear the most from, edit home screen minus. It says remove YouTube. Remove from home screen will keep the app in your app library. Move from home screen, delete app. How about that? Delete. That's a good thing. I think that some of us need to hone back in to what it feels like to get down on our knees, right? And go before the Lord to humble ourselves in front of our wives, in front of our children, in front of our coworkers, our neighbors, to speak the name of Jesus, to bring glory to Him and only Him, to seek His face and ask for forgiveness. I've done a lot of things in my own life, a lot of selfish things. I've hurt my wife, I've hurt my children, I've hurt family, I've hurt friends, I've hurt people. I know I have. So I seek their forgiveness. I seek my moment with my Heavenly Father. I seek that, God, that You find me to be a man that's not full of pride in any way, shape, or form. But Lord, that You find me a man who is seeking after the heart of the Father, and that's it. That's good enough. So I'm going to ask that they just shut down maybe some of the spotlight in this room right now. Take off these lights above all of us. And let me ask that the altars are open. The altars are open. And let's build ourselves an altar of consecration. Consecration, some of you may not know what that means. Consecration. It's setting apart. Setting apart those things that are holy. You'll say, well, I'm not holy. Actually, Paul tells us that we are a living temple where the Holy Spirit resides. You are a place for the holy things. Let's stop grieving the Holy Spirit. Let's stop grieving the Holy Spirit. Let's make room, all the room. Let's empty ourselves out of all these nooks and crannies of nonsense and voices. And let's put Jesus in every corner of our lives. Let's fill Him up this morning. Guys, stand up, worship the Lord, sit down, lay down, find an altar space. Let's consecrate ourselves as a holy space for Jesus.